Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see each and every single one of you here today. If you are a guest, you are an honored guest, and we are grateful that you're here and you chose to spend your Lord's Day with us here this morning. It's a great and glorious Lord's Day, and we as Christians should praise the fact that we woke up today on the green side of the grass. It's a new opportunity, a new day, a new beginning. Most of the world, they'll celebrate new beginnings on January 1st. We as Christians, every day is a new opportunity, is a new beginning. We have the grace of God in our life, and He allows us to make mistakes. And we repent of those mistakes and ask His forgiveness. We have a new beginning with Him, and I praise God for that. Today, I want to talk to you about labels. We've got labels everywhere in our life. We use labels very positively. I use labels. I got a label maker at work. Makes all my files look nice and neat. And everything's all in a row. It just pleases my OCD to no end. It's fantastic. I like everything to look exactly the same. It's wonderful. But then again, there's times that we use labels in a very negative light as well. And the question I would pose to you, what labels are on you? What labels do people put on you? What labels do you put on yourself? We're going to take a look at a few of those things, and hopefully, this is not meant to be a negative sermon by any stretch of the imagination. More along the lines, it's to get us to think more along, what are we? Who are we? Who do we present to the world? And what does the world think about the label that I put on myself? Labels are very, very important. Go look in your cabinet, and you might see one of these labels there, Campbell's Chicken Noodle Soup, right? What if you have a cabinet that looks like this? Well, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Well, let's see. Open this can and open that can. Well, it looks like tuna fish and sauerkraut. Yay. It's a potluck. If there's no label there, you don't know what's inside. So that's very, very important for in this particular situation to have a label, right? You know what's inside. Labels identify what is inside. Now, the pulpit is not a political soapbox, and I'm not going to have it as such, but we have labels in politics, do we not? We have, for our political parties, we have the Democratic Party, we have the Republican Party, we have the Civil Libertarian Party, we have the Socialist Party. We've got several different parties in the United States, right? And we have those parties, and we have those symbols and labels associated with those parties to identify what their beliefs are. Now, I identify as kind of a Republican, but I also have a lot of civil libertarian beliefs. But I do have some Democratic beliefs as well. And I have, in my experience, I have found that everybody kind of follows along those lines. There is no one person that probably identifies with absolutely everything one party agrees with versus what the other party agrees with. I think there are very many shades of gray as to what our beliefs or what is inside us. So whenever we use a label of, say, a political party, well, I don't exactly identify with that. I identify with a lot of those things, but I don't identify with all of those things. So we have a very big danger whenever we label a person or a group of people with general statements, do we not? If we put a label on them and say, oh, I heard you say one thing that I don't agree with, that's associated with this label or this party, I don't want to hear anything else you have to say because you side with them or you side with that person. It can cause division. And in the Lord's church, that's not what the Lord wants. How about this label? This is a label that we put on this congregation here in East Alton, East Alton Church of Christ. It's on our website. This is the label that we use. What's inside? What does this label mean to us? How do we identify to this label? Whenever you're traveling, I've done quite a bit of traveling myself, and whenever I was looking for a congregation to worship with, I would go and check their website and see, well, what do they identify with? It says Church of Christ on the door, but what flavor of Church of Christ am I going to? What is actually inside? And I'm telling you, all across the country, just because it says Church of Christ does not necessarily mean that these individuals are following what the Word of God says. And we put further labels upon each of the churches around the country that says Church of Christ. And we're going to go through some of those labels and see if those are bad labels, are they good labels, or are they fair? What makes a bad label? Well, one of the first words we want to take a look at is liberal. Whenever there was a point in time in my life, whenever I heard, well, that congregation is liberal, or this person is liberal, or anytime I hear the word liberal, the automatic thought in my mind was negative. I don't want anything to do with liberalism. I don't want to be liberal. I don't want to be labeled as liberal. That's a bad thing. It can be. It can be a bad thing. So let's talk about liberalism for a little bit. And let's take a look at an example of negative liberalism. And things that we definitely need to guard against. In the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter, talking about the waters of Meribah and Moses. The children of Israel, to give you kind of a background of what's going on here in Numbers, the 20th chapter, is the children of Israel are being argumentative. They're complaining. They're saying, why in the world did you take us out of Egypt? Why did you lead us out of Egypt? We had all these, we had water aplenty, we had all these fruits, and we had all these vegetables, we had everything that we needed. Completely forgetting the fact that they were slaves, and they were being mistreated, and they had unfair rules. But only thing that they can think of at this period of time is their own bellies, and the fact that they feel like they are dying. And so Moses and Aaron, they go to God, and God gives them this instruction in verse 8. It says, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. Okay, so God is going to solve the problem of the Israelites. God tells Moses and Aaron, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take the rod, you're going to go, you're going to talk to the rock. The rock is going to bring forth water, okay? That's what God said. Now, is that what Moses and Aaron do? Well, let's go down further in the chapter, down to verse 11. It says, Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with the staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. What did God say to do versus what Moses did do? God says, speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth water. And Moses goes up. He doesn't speak to the rock. He strikes the rock twice. God relents, and the water comes out. This is where liberalism is bad, going beyond what God has said. God commanded Moses, speak to the rock, and he did what was right in his own eyes. He added to the Word of God. He didn't go with what the Word of God had said and told him to do. He was very liberal with the command. He went to the rock, but he didn't do what God had commanded. So he made up his own rules in that particular situation. So in this instance, in this example, liberalism is bad, and Moses pays the price because he is no longer allowed to enter the promised land because of this instance. Now, is this the only thing that Moses does that's bad? No, he did several other things that were bad too. However, he's still the prophet of God, and God had grace with Moses and the children of Israel for that matter. Go back. Teachings of men. Let's take a look at Matthew, the 15th chapter. And this is Christ speaking to the elders of Jerusalem, the Pharisees, the scribes. And there in verse 7 through 9, Christ says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men.'" Isaiah prophesied about this. This is a reoccurring problem with the children of Israel. They make up their own rules. They make up these traditions that they fall after the traditions, the doctrines of men, rather than the doctrine of God. That is ultimately, in a nutshell, the problem with liberalism and doing things outside of what God has governed. Loosing where God has not loosed. God gives us a law, gives us a rule, and we go beyond that. We make our own rules. That's where liberalism is bad. Or how about exchanging the word of God for myth? Turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 3 through 4. "For the time has come when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to truth and wander off into myth." They make their own myths. They will make up their own rules. That is the danger of liberalism. So, okay, now I've painted this picture that liberalism is pretty bad, right? Liberalism is something that should be guarded against. We should stay clear of it. You know, that kind of supports the point that I made whenever we started talking about liberalism, right? Well, what about the label of conservative? Conservative is actually the opposite of liberal. Conservatism is adhering to the rule of law as closely as possible. There are those who would even say, you may have heard this analogy before. If you're a bus driver and you're driving on this really narrow road and there's a cliff at one side, do you want to see how close to the edge of the cliff you can get, or do you want to stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as possible? Well, I mean, safety first, right? We want to stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as we possibly can. Well, if we stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as we possibly can, are we grinding our vehicle, the bus, into the cliff side? Is that good either? Well, let's take a look at conservatism here for a minute. So I've painted a fairly bad picture of liberalism and insinuating that maybe conservatism is the way to go. But let's look at Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 23. Here we have a situation. I'm sorry. Yeah, 23:23. Says, well, again, Christ speaking to the Pharisees and hypocrites. Says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the other. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Here Christ is talking to the religious leaders of the day. And he says, you do all these things. You tithe mint and dill and cumin. You do all these things. You will basically count out every seed so that whenever you tithe, you know that you are giving that 10% of everything that you have, not a penny less, not a penny more, not a seed more. You do all these things, but you forget the weightier matters of the law. Christ identifies three things: justice, mercy, faithfulness. Now, justice, mercy, whenever we talked about grace earlier in my introduction, and that praise be to God that we have grace. Do you want grace abundant in your life or conservatively in your life? Whenever we give grace, whenever we receive grace, I want to be able to give the amount of grace that I need in my life. That's one thing I don't want to be conservative with, is grace. I know how much grace I need. I know how bad I am. And I know how much God is working in my life. And how much He is doing to help me grow. Should I go on sinning that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. That's not the point. We don't want grace to abound. So we don't go on sinning. We don't sin a whole bunch so that grace can abound. The point is, Christ says, these ought you have done without neglecting the others. There's a balance that needs to be maintained between liberalism and conservatism. We have freedoms that are given to us, and we should exercise those. But we should be careful about those freedoms. Let's take one more look at conservatism in Luke, the 6th chapter. Starting there in verse 1, we're going to go down to verse 5. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? It's not lawful. It's illegal. You're going against God's law. And Jesus answered them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and he and those who were with him? He who entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now some want to say, well, the Pharisees were right in this particular instance. No. I'm going to go with what Christ said. Christ did not let his disciples do anything unlawful. If you're hungry, you eat. The problem that the Pharisees had is they made a law saying that you shouldn't do any work. And they had defined what was work. And they had defined that taking the heads of those pieces of wheat and sifting them in their hands constituted work. So by the Pharisees' law, by the Pharisees' tradition, the law that they put in place to stay as far away from the edge as completely possible, they had bound where God had not bound. God had given liberty. God had given liberation, freedom to eat on the Sabbath and give you the means to eat on the Sabbath. But yet they put this rule into place that was unlawful. So they were the ones who were in wrong. They were the ones who were sinning because they were following the traditions of men, which was unlawful. They said that Christ was unlawful. I'm going to side with Christ. So the danger of conservatism is that, do we go too far? Do we put burdens, heavy burdens on ourselves, just like the Pharisees have done, making extra rules and saying, well, you can't do that. Really? You sure about that? You better be sure. We need to walk a line of moderation. So we've put labels on different congregations across the country. They're liberal congregation. Well, they're a conservative congregation. Well, another label that is given across the country is the label of anti. Individuals that are individual congregations that are anti would possibly do these practices of head coverings, one cuppers, just an order of worship, or even having water fountains in their buildings, or a kitchen in their building. And they will make individuals make this a point of fellowship. That, well, you're wrong. I can't worship with you because you do these things. That is completely unlawful. Is it? Is it really? Be sure. Now, am I saying that, you know, we should willy-nilly accept every single person, that we should accept denominationalism? No, by no means. We are to judge righteous judgment. The measure in which we measure against someone else will be measured to us. Christ says, judge not, lest ye be judged. A lot of people want to say, well, that means don't judge. No. It goes on to say, the measurement that you judge others will be measured to you. So if you measure by God's law, well, guess what? God's law is going to measure each and every single one of us in the last day. So I hope that I will be measured with that, because I understand that. I understand that which is given me. I don't understand extraneous laws that men make that have the name Church of Christ on the outside of their building. They put that label on there, and I expect that they are going to be following the Word of God. And whenever I go there, they put laws on me that I had no idea about, because I don't see that in the Scripture. But then again, maybe I'm wrong. Be open-minded enough to say, I'm wrong. Because there have been times in my past that I was dead set certain I understood a scripture and that I lived by that scripture, and no one was going to convince me otherwise until somebody brought it to my attention years later, and I see the scripture in a totally different light than what I did beforehand and realize I was wrong. I need to give grace, as much grace as has been given to me. So what label is on you? Have you put a label on yourself that's not Christian? That's the label that should be on each and every single one of us. Not liberal, not conservative, not anti, not Baptist, not Methodist, not any denominational name. The name and label that we should be putting on us is that of Christ and Him alone. If we follow after Him, because He is our Savior, there is no way in this world that we can be saved except through the grace of God. We are saved by the grace of God. He is the one that does the saving. Is there something that we need to do? Yes, there is something we need to do. We need to submit. He doesn't just save each and every one of the world and says, okay, the whole world's saved. Game's over. All right, you don't have to worry about it no more. That's not how it works. God expresses in His Word that we must submit to His will in order to receive that grace. And then it goes beyond that. Whenever, that's just the beginning. Whenever you do receive God's grace in the watery grave of baptism, I'd like to go back to the scripture reading that we had this morning that Brother Sean gave. Romans 12, verse 14 to the end of the chapter illustrates everything that we were that I've talked about here this morning. That moderation in our lives is necessary. We, as Christians, have a very delicate balancing act to perform. On one side, Christ said his burden is light. His work is easy. Take my yoke upon you. But it's a whole lot harder whenever you realize we need to be at peace with all mankind as much as it lies within us. Much opportunity as I have, or much power as I have to be at peace with all mankind, including my enemies, including the people that place unfair labels upon me. There's a delicate balancing act. We have to give room for God and His vengeance. Don't step into God's shoes and be the judge. That's not a job that you want. Because I can guarantee you're going to probably make the wrong choice. God knows all. I want Him to judge me. Now, do I want my brothers to, if they see something wrong in my life, to come to me and correct me? Yeah, I do. But I want them to come to me and correct me in love. Here recently, I heard a couple of examples of doctors berating their patients for doing, you're not taking good care of yourself. You're fat, your teeth are not taken care of. You need to get out and you need to exercise. You need to eat right. Berating their patients. I kind of understand what doctors are going through, because the doctors are trying to help fix things. Maybe they use these words to shock the person. But inevitably what happens is it shuts the person off. And they'll go find another doctor. Well, guess what? We've got sick people here, spiritually, in this building, myself included. We want to heal. You don't heal by beating each other up. You heal with love, kindness, compassion, justice. I think Christ said something about that being the weightier part of the law. Nothing's changed, essentially, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It went from a law of don'ts to a law of do's. The weightier matters of the law, the Pharisees missed. Are we missing those things? Whose label is on you today? That's a question that only you can answer. And I hope that label is Christ. But if it's not, make a change. Make a change in your life right now before it's too late. Like I said at the beginning of the lesson, each day that we are alive, it is gained for Christ. That's Paul. Paul said that. Every day I live is gained for Christ. It gives me another opportunity to spread the word, to live for Him. If I die, that's my gain. That's my gain. Because I know I've done everything that I could to live that life, to live up to the label that Christ put on me in the watery grave of baptism. And by the grace of God, I am saved. If you don't have that, if you don't have that label put on you, make it happen today. Have that assurance. If you're in need this morning, come to the front, and we will try and make things right. We will teach you about Christ and His love and what you need to do to be saved and how to submit to His will. Or, as a brother and sister in Christ, if you've been wearing a label that's not Christ and you need help, we'll do our best to help you. We're human and we make mistakes. We all do. If you need us, we're here for you. Just come to the front as together we stand and sing.